Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, welcome to the Wednesday, July 16th, 2014 edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Duke Brooks here. Glad you could make it tonight. Or, maybe you're listening to this podcast on Saturday, the 26th or something. You know, maybe it's a 2 in the morning. That's one of the, I'll be honest with you, having been on the air on regular radio stations since I'm 17 years old, as they say, there are some concepts in internet broadcasting about which I've had to try to wrap my head. And I, some of them still, the podcast thing, I guess it's great. I don't know. Anyway, the number is 718-305-7176. There are people in the chat room. Welcome. I see Christian from Denmark there. He and I will be on the air later on. We're going to be speaking about World Cup. I don't know the first thing about soccer, to be completely honest with you. I have never really been particularly interested in it. And as a result, I need somebody like Christian to sort of walk me through. So he will be here later on in this broadcast or podcast or internet, whatever. Very, very shortly, Kevin Wade will be joining me here in studio live. Kevin has just filed to run for the United States Senate in Delaware. He is running for the GOP nomination. There's no question in my mind that Kevin will capture. Additionally, I believe that this year that Kevin will win the general election. I am Kevin's communication director. If this were an FCC licensed radio station, we would have to invite his GOP primary opponent, who is a person about which I know virtually nothing other than his name and his age and the fact that he had been in the military, which we honor greatly. Listen, neither Kevin nor I were ever in the service, all right? Kevin's a little bit older than I am. I think he is a... He, like me, I think, is the only male offspring. So, whatever the reasons were, by the time I turned 18, the draft was no longer in effect. So I registered. Of course, I never got called. I wanted to go to Annapolis. I wanted to be a naval officer or marine officer. They were not at all interested in me because I'm virtually blind. But in any event, any patriot, any person that loves America is going to honor and respect the honorable military service and be thankful for the honorable military service of our current and former military personnel. And there is no, very few would say, if somebody has served honorably, I respect their service. Bradley Manning, I do not respect his. Frankly, he engaged in espionage. As far as Bo Bergdahl is concerned, there is something about that, frankly, that just kind of stinks. So I'm not really sure that I honor his service. However, Kevin's primary opponent, we honor his service. I do not think that he is electable. I don't think that because the man is 81. That means that he would be 87 at the conclusion of a first 6-year term. There comes a time when a person has to say, okay, I cannot really reinvent myself anymore. So anyway, that's basically the deal. The guy that's in there now is a guy named Coons. He is a lawyer. He was studying for the divinity at one point. He once described himself in a campus newspaper article as a bearded Marxist. The guy describes himself now as, quote, the most progressive member of the U.S. Senate, unquote. The fact of the matter is the people of Delaware and the people of America have now seen exactly what happens when the Democrats are allowed to do whatever they want to do. Can anybody remember a United States White House administration, presidential administration, in which there have been so many scandals? I mean, the fact of the matter is, I cannot remember even, Nixon was characterized by Watergate literally 24/7 from the early spring of 1973 up to his resignation in early August of 1974/7. There was no such thing as an evening newscast that did not have a story about Watergate. The three networks, and at the time there were three, that was it. There was no cable, there was no CNN, no Fox, none of that stuff, no USA Network. There was no such thing as HGTV. Although if they had been around then, they would have covered Watergate. But they started at around 9 in the morning, and they went until about 3 or 4 in the afternoon of the Senate Watergate hearings, chaired by this guy from North Carolina, who was known as Senator Sam Ervin. And pretty much everybody likes Senator Sam. He was an old-school Southern Democrat. He was kind of a what is referred to in the American political lexicon as a yellow dog Democrat. In other words, he would have voted for a yellow dog if it were a Democrat. All right, that's where that term comes from. There are some people now called blue dog Democrats. I have no idea what that means. If you do, you can go ahead and give me a call. The number is 718-305-7176. Here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I was to have Deborah Burlingame of the National 911 Memorial Museum in New York. She is on the board. She was to join me tonight, but Deborah is unable to make it. Maybe Deborah will come on again at some point in the future. I had just a very wonderful chat with her this afternoon. Very, very bright person. Really enjoyed talking to her. Anyway, we're now about 8.5 minutes into hour number one of this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Just before I went on the air, Greta Van Susteren was talking about some recent IRS Lois Lerner Gate revelations. You'll notice that every scandal in Washington now gets the term gate appended to it. If you're a young person, if you're 20 or 27 or something, you're not going to remember the Watergate summer at all. Many Americans now, I'm certain, don't really understand why that scandal was called Watergate. And I will tell you why. In downtown Washington, not very far from the White House, there is a combination condominium office complex with some light shopping inside. Apparently it went up in the mid-1960s or something. It is near the Potomac River, and it is called the Watergate Complex. That's just the name that the architects, the developers, designers, planners used for this particular structure. And it's, you know, I have been past the building. I'm fairly familiar with Washington, D.C. It's not, as President John F. Kennedy once said, it is a city of northern charm and southern efficiency. And I have been there quite a few times. I've spent a lot of time there. I really like it. I like it an awful lot. I mean, it is probably the most important city in the world. And I have been past the Watergate. It is not a particularly inspiring building. It's sort of that clunky kind of gee whiz, oh wow, sort of 1960s look about it. And that is where the Democrat National Committee and its chairman, Larry O'Brien, had their offices in 1972. And the Watergate is the building, and the DNC are the offices into which a group of burglars, including McCord and I think Gonzalez, and the whole operation was run by G. Gordon Liddy, who was in a hotel room across the street with a pair of binoculars and a walkie-talkie. And they got into the building and they went in through the basement garage. They were all wearing suits and ties, and they had cameras with them. And they were wearing breaking gloves, and they put, that is, I'm going to have to do something about the dog barking in the background. I'm not really sure anything can be done about him, because the reason he's barking like that is that Kevin Wade has walked in, and Chi-Chi doesn't know Kevin all that well, and he's going crazy. But in any event, Kevin's going to join me on the air here in just a moment. Anyway, as I was saying, how they got discovered on that night, which I believe was June 17th, 1972, is they had taped open the latch on the door in the garage that went into the staircase of the building. The security guard was this guy named Frank Wills, and Frank Wills was going around checking the security of the building, which was his job, because he was the security guard. And he noticed this tape on the door. Apparently, he noticed it twice. And the second time, he took it off there the first time. Then an hour or so later, when I guess more of those guys came in, he noticed it had been retaped open. And at that point, he went around the building looking. He called the police, which is exactly what a security guard is supposed to do when they suspect with all reason that someone has broken into their building. And two Metro Washington police officers showed up. I think that they were actually undercover, but they got the call and they went into the building and they arrested these guys. And these guys were in the office of the Democrat National Committee, and the chairman was Larry O'Brien. And the rest, as they say, is history. And this took place in the Watergate building, which is why from then on you have the term gate appended to every single thing that shows up. Anyway, we are about 13 minutes into the hour. Now then, you are probably aware that Conservative Nation Media has gone through quite a few changes lately. One of them is the fact that one of our main programs, which is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, has moved to Tuesdays, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. You are going to love this. Listen, if you're a conservative, look, you and I can talk, can't we? We can speak about things that matter, right? Even if you're not from Tennessee, you want to check out this show. And Dave has one of these great Tennessee accents. What a great guy he is. I love that guy. The issues that are affecting Tennessee right now are spreading out all over America. Dave is a veteran. Dave has fought for our country. He was in the United States Army. I believe he was in the 101st or the 82nd, but I'm not positive. Anyway, Dave has a veteran's insight to things. He brings the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday. So make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Now then, I want to invite Kevin Wade to the program. Welcome, Kevin. How you doing, buddy?
Duke, it's great for me to be here, and I suspect the political sympathies of Chi-Chi, the dog.
Chi-Chi,
she was making noise with no apparent purpose.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, I don't think he... No, maybe he is. He's unemployed. He has no income. He has no job. But he always wants to eat, and he's always looking for a handout. You know, I can see people rolling their eyes right now. But anyway, this is the first internet radio show on which you are announcing that you have formally filed to run for the GOP nomination for the United States Senate in November. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. And let's go get them, pal.
Well, thanks for having me again. I love my country. And there's no other country on this earth where someone like me, from my background, would be as well established in a life of purpose and meaning with a wonderful family and a great circle of business friends and neighbors. And I see this country really falling in on itself. The world's on fire, Duke, and this country's falling in on itself.
Yes, yeah, but
and
we're
in
not
Washington, it's business as usual.
We're not falling in on ourselves. What's happening is there are people that are making us fall in on it. These things don't happen by accident. There are people that want this to happen. They like the idea that it's happening, and they're making it happen, and they're leading a lot of otherwise innocent bystanders along with them.
We are a good and trusting people. That's my experience in life. There is the occasional exception, Duke, but Americans, by and large, are good and trusting people. And the leadership that we've had for these past 5 and 6 years is totally deaf to the cries of the people to just leave us alone. We can rebuild our own lives, and by rebuilding our own lives, we can rebuild this country, and this country does, Duke. It needs to be rebuilt, and it's going to be built by people who trust themselves and one another, even though they may not trust Washington, because Washington gives so little reason to trust. But we can't give up on America. We can't give up on one another, and we need to kind of join arms and go forward from this bad place where we're in.
There's very little question about that. Kevin, we do have to take a real quick break here, so stand by. And we will be back with Kevin Wade in a moment or two. We've got another obscene profit center. Well, actually, I really can't use that term because we are not obscenely profitable. We're holding our own at the moment, which is a good thing. You can help. Just go to our website, www.conservativenationmedia.com, and kick in what you can. It is that season again. Anyway, more with Kevin Wade. Your calls all coming up, so stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, welcome back. That, of course, the inimitable Electric Light Orchestra and Summer and Lightning from their 1977 album, Out of the Blue. I love ELO. I don't make any bones about it. Not trying to conceal anything. I absolutely love the Electric Light Orchestra. Sometime I'll tell you a story about a radio station where I used to work in the 90s. Classic rock station. I had gone to D.C. to work at WTOP. And then I came back to the Eastern Shore after the summer was over, after the Million Man. It was in November of 95. And I got a call from my buddy Eric, from the program director. He said, Duke, we need you to come back to the station. You can play all the ELO you want. All right, beautiful. Kevin Wade is back with us. Kevin, two years ago, we did not have a primary challenger. This year, there's a person that registered in the primary before you registered to run for the nomination. We wish that person well, although not too well, of course. We honor him and we admire his service. I am taking it as a foregone conclusion that the Republican voters in Delaware will understand that you are an electable candidate, and that elderly gentleman, who is probably a good man, really is not the right candidate for this job. What do we know about the sitting United States senator from the liberal wing of the Democrat Party that Harry Reid once described as his pet? What do we know about that guy?
Well, we know what he writes about himself and how he describes himself, and that's probably the easiest place to start, Duke. Senator Coons, the Democrat from the first state of Delaware, describes himself as the most progressive senator in the United States Senate. And I'm trying to put together how that makes sense for mainstream Delaware. We have a phrase here, the Delaware way.
Yeah.
And it's not too far that way, and it's not too far this way. It's the Delaware way of getting together around the problems that confront the people and coming up with solutions that the people understand and can, take up. And when someone describes himself as the most progressive senator in the U.S. Senate, I think he's standing far out of that that common sense mainstream that makes Delaware works when it used to work in the past. We also know he has a biography where he's described himself in his younger days, and I'll quote again, as a bearded Marxist. Well, I'm sure that he's grown, matured, and involved, and I guess you evolved from a bearded Marxist to then being the most progressive senator. But Delaware has 2 Senate votes. That's set in the Constitution. Every state in the Union has 2 senators.
Even states like Delaware that only have 1 congressman, we still have 2 senators.
We still have 2 senators. And I find that Senator Coons lines up and votes with Harry Reid so often, he has become, in my opinion, the third vote for the state of Nevada.
There you go.
What the people of my state need is their own independent voice to bring Delaware common sense down to Washington, D.C. And Delaware common sense is not much different, my friends, than American common sense.
But when you use the phrase common sense in the same sentence as the name Washington, D.C., it just doesn't work. What common sense have we seen coming out of Washington, D.C. at any point in the last 2 decades?
Well, Washington has a spending problem. If they can get their hands on it, they will spend it. If they spent this much this year, they will spend more next year. There is never a federal program that they can't support and enlarge and expand, and no one takes time to see if it's even working. Now, I know, as most of your listeners know, there is a proper role for government in civic life. The government can do things.
Absolutely.
It can do things that people as an individual or even entire states cannot do alone.
That's right.
But one of those things, for example, about a good example of the broken Washington, is one of the responsibilities of the central government, the federal government as we call it in the U.S., is to protect our borders. We have had an open wound for many years where we're supposed to have a secure border in the South, and that open wound has now grown septic. And there have been rumors that are commonplace throughout Central America that if children do, children now, and get to that southern border, somehow things are going to be better for them. And we are now being flooded with hundreds of thousands of the most unfortunate kids you'll ever see in the world. And this broken border has attracted these kids from their homes. They're now in U.S. custody, those who have survived the trip. And no one knows what to do next. But listeners, what would you do if you found a child far from home? You'd get that child back home. That's common sense. It actually doesn't cost that much money. If we keep these kids in orphan tent cities or in warehouses for a long time, they will be permanently warped by the experience.
No question.
Let's do the right thing. Let's get them back home where people know their names.
You know, the other problem is that amongst the children that are, I mean, these families and these so-called coyotes who are basically immigrant rustlers is what they are, they are attempting to export their poverty and their problems. This is almost like the Mary Alito boat lift under Jimmy Carter, because there are large numbers of very, very violent gangs. We know the names, the MS-13, the Bloods, the Crips, most of these gangs had their origins in Central America. There are very, very violent narco-terrorist gang members that are coming into this country. They have no business being here. And as I've said to many people, if an individual American has the absolute right to close and lock their doors, close and lock their windows, to keep people that they do not want coming into their house out, then doesn't our nation have the same national right to determine who comes in and who does not? I think it's a reasonable question. How about you?
Why do we have a Senate that's silent about the greatest humanitarian crisis facing this country since the Civil War?
Well, Harry Reid said the border's secure. He said that yesterday. He said the border is secure.
And this is why the people across this country have no trust in Washington, because what Harry Reid said yesterday makes no sense to any sober person. We just need to bring common sense to Washington, and I call common sense, I've got a conservative view. Be responsible for your life, pay your bills, help a neighbor, give help, accept the help when it's needed, but we need to live our own lives without getting permission slips from Washington, because Washington cannot even watch the southern border. They can't tend to the matters in my life in any detail with any knowledge or any understanding. It's time to read the Constitution, believe the Constitution, follow the Constitution, and get together on fixing what's broken in America, and there's a lot of things broken, Duke.
Well, common sense is something that Washington, D.C. needs, and it needs it desperately. Harry Reid, it is just amazing that that guy is still a U.S. senator. Only California could send people like Brad Sherman and Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer to Washington to represent them. It is just unbelievable. But maybe there is some hope. We're going to take a very brief break right now. Kevin Wade will be back with me in just a moment. We are just about 30 minutes into the first hour of this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Now, I don't know about you, But I'm almost jaded at this point. And by that I mean, you know, just when you think you've heard everything that could possibly come from inside the Beltway, those DC leftists pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left wing tries to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of what they call social justice? That's always, they throw these words out there. Anyway, let me give you a little tiny piece of advice. Don't wait for the professional left to turn our entire world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure that you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear that you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. More with Kevin Wade and your calls coming up, so don't go away.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAB.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, the Wednesday, July 16th, 2014 edition. It is political season already, friends. Of course, if you're like me, it's always political season. Kevin Wade is with me. Kevin Wade is a candidate for the United States Senate in Delaware, a personal friend of mine. I am honored to be his communication director. That, incidentally, Kevin, is, you know, I've been the communication director for our local Sussex County Republican Committee, but today I had to leave that position because there is a primary going on, and that's okay because I am looking forward to speaking for the Kevin Wade campaign.
I'm sorry for their loss, and I'm happy for my gain. And thank you, Duke. I did not know that until just now.
No, those are actually the rules. And our executive director of our state party, John Fluharty, and I had a conversation about that today, and I reiterated that I will do whatever the party wants. My own thinking about it really doesn't matter. If those are the party rules, those are the rules. Absolutely no hard feelings, no problem whatsoever. So we move on from here. But apparently the president, Barack Obama, or B. Hussein Osama, as I used to call him at my old radio station, is going to be up here tomorrow to take a look at a bridge that is a bridge over Interstate 495 in Wilmington. It crosses over a body of water called the Christina River. And that bridge partially collapsed. It basically went out of service last month. I don't drive in that part of the state very often. Obviously, that's very near to where you live and where you spend a lot of time. What exactly happened to that bridge? And
well, I haven't seen the engineering reports, but what it is it's an elevated section of I-495, which is the interstate bypass around Wilmington, Delaware. I-95 that everyone on the East Coast is familiar with goes
sure.
through the heart of Wilmington. And virtually the bulk of East Coast commercial traffic and private vehicles go up and down I-95 every day. And there is a bypass around the traffic congestion in Wilmington. It's called 495. It's built through a marshy area, and the bridge did not partially collapse. What happened is there's an elevated section of the roadway. It's built on, frames, and four of those frames were tilting. So it's a great inconvenience for people who live between New York and Washington, certainly for all of us in northern Delaware who rely on 495 or I-95 to get north and south. And a lot of money is being spent, and the president's coming here. And, of course, any state is honored when the president of the United States arrives
sure.
for a visit. My question is, after spending $850 billion, that's with a B,
yeah.
billion dollars for the stimulus program that was to focus on American infrastructure.
The one that didn't stimulate anything?
Roads and bridges.
Oh, right, yeah, that one.
How in the world could we have a problem with any bridge anywhere in America? How can you spend that much money on infrastructure and just a few years later have a bridge that's tilting? So we're glad that he comes here, but someone should ask the question, what happened to our money?
Nobody's going to ask that question, although I can answer it. It was used to make sure that the permanently entrenched, entitled career inside the Beltway politicians in D.C. get permanently reelected. You and I are both fans of a movie from 1983 that is called The Right Stuff.
Exactly.
A terrific movie. It's by Philip Kaufman. He wrote it and directed it. He's a very, very good director. And there's a scene when they are getting ready to commission the new NASA headquarters in Houston. And Donald Moffat, who played LBJ, stands up and says, "Looky here what I brought you." And everybody, America's Mercury astronaut. That seems to be what politicians, the career politician, you know, the guys that have been in office since George Washington was 12, you know, those guys, that's what they want to do.
Yeah, but there's a difference, Duke. I can go down to NASA headquarters, and it's built. And it operates with $850 billion. Where did it go? Well, some of that money went to Solyndra, and that's
right.
gone.
Yeah.
Some of it went to a company called Fisker.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars and an additional 21, 22 from taxpayers right here in this first state of Delaware. That disappeared as well. So instead of going for infrastructure that would last for 30 years that we all could use and enjoy, so much of that money was misdirected, redirected, and I think in many cases...
just wasted.
Wasted in crony capital.
You were right the first time. You know, I mean...
But
you know,
I'm a small businessman, Duke, and one thing you learn very, very early, the first time you're having trouble meeting payroll... is you can't spend that same dollar twice.
No.
You can't spend it twice. You better think twice before you spend it once. But unfortunately, it's a different reality in Washington, D.C. Maybe it's because it's not their money. It's our money. So $850 billion went for the stimulus. Its main target was to be to improve infrastructure around America. And we have four bridge frames on I-495 that won't be right for another month. And all the traffic on the East Coast between Baltimore and New York City, which uses I-95, is now jammed up in Wilmington, Delaware, trying to get through at 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that the President of the United States honors this state by making a visit, but the question needs to be asked, what happened to the money?
From what our friend John Mosley, the well-known attorney, said, is that no one knew that this was happening to the bridge until a motorist noticed a large crack in the pavement and called 911 at some point in early June, I think. I mean, that, you know, something, there is something going on here that is just unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, but let's get back to a government of we the people. And this was a phrase that was used back in the beginning. We the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. Who saw the crack? Was it a federal official from Washington?
No,
was it an expert from some distant location? It was one of we the people.
That's right.
Who knows what best needs to be done at the southern border? Talk to the we the people who live
that
there.
That live there. That's right.
Ask a parent how they'd like to see their child educated. Ask them, we the people. Don't go to Washington. Washington has no answers. Washington only has problems that they make for the rest of us.
That's right.
Our country is up against the wall. If this country is going to turn itself around and start moving in the right direction to give a better America to their children, it's going to be because we, the people, choose to do it. And that's what this campaign's about, Duke, talking to we, the people, not only in Delaware, but to your audience and around the country.
Any campaign for the U.S. Senate, especially one that is as crucial as this one is, because if you are like me, you understand that if the GOP does not gain control of the Senate, this nation, our days are numbered because the Democrats are going to ruin it. And that's what the, you know, so any campaign for the U.S. Senate really is a national campaign. And we have seen U.S. Senate campaigns in Delaware go national. We saw that happen 4 years ago. Sadly, it did not really go national 2 years ago when you were running against a guy named Tom Carper, who, as far as I can tell, since the age of about 17, has never had any employer in his life other than the United States government or the government of the state of Delaware. And Senator Carper is a nice old guy, but he's a liberal Democrat, you know, and his name is as synonymous with Delaware politics as a name can possibly be. He has overshadowed Pete DuPont at this point, but I think this year is going to be different, buddy. I really do. Now, please bear with me for a moment. We're going to take a quick break. Kevin and I will be back in just a moment. The number is 718-305-7176 here at Radio Free America. If you want to speak with my buddy, Kevin Wade, for the United States Senate in Delaware. As you are aware by now, our small company, which would be conservativenationmedia.com, is growing. And we could not think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher, he's not my uncle. People call him Uncle Bing. He has that kind of sort of uncle-y look about him. You know, if you've ever seen a picture of his handsome face, you will realize, boy, geez, I wish I had an uncle that looked like him. Anyway, he is an engineer, like Kevin Wade is, although Bing is a guy whose parents came over from Eastern. They were able to escape from East Germany, and you know, the Germans by nature are very, very good engineers. They know how to design things. And Bing is a self-taught engineer, and that's very often the best kind. And Bing loves America very, very, very much, just like you and I do, and like Kevin does, and like virtually all good Republicans. Anyway, he brings his engineer's insight and his unconditional love of America to his program, American by Design. It is Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, on conservativenationmedia.com. Stay with us all week long, since we are making some big changes and we are just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Mondays, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Kevin Wade and I will be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. So will you, calling in at 718-305-7176. Right after these words, so don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. That was, of course, Crowded House, preceded by Kevin Wade. That was Kevin speaking kindly about me a few moments ago. And I think those guys from Australia and Crowded House are right, Kevin. There is a battle ahead. But I think the American people are beginning to realize which side they should be on. Welcome back. And, you know, we've got our work cut out for us, pal. There's no question about that. I'm sure you'll agree.
We have we're besieged from all directions now. $17 trillion spent again that can't be spent a second time. It's already been spent, added to the federal debt. There was some rumblings of good news economically last month. For example, when the jobs report came out showing about 284,000 jobs created.
I don't believe that stuff.
If you went to page 2, Duke, you found out that 278,000 are part-time.
Yeah.
People can't build careers working at a company called Temporary with a job description part-time. This is economy that's not taking care of its folks by creating the opportunity that we, the people, need to make our own lives. And yet this country, going back to the beginning, was a country where everyone who did something productively created even more opportunities for others. As I served the needs of my family, that service created demand for other people, allowing them to meet the needs of their own families. Everyone just working in a free enterprise economy driven by their own instincts and inspirations. And that is the secret to the great American miracle, the great American economy. It's not central planning. It's not filling out 10 forms to get approvals from agencies. It's having the initiative to become a radio host on conservativenation.com. This country can create its own prosperity. We just need to get Washington out of the way. I understand this, and my opponent, Senator Coons, doesn't. He believes all good things come from Washington. And I say, no, all good things come from American families across Delaware and across this nation. Get out of the way. This nation can heal itself and fix the great problems that are before us.
We have huge problems, Kevin, at the end of the day, and I, you know, in a way, I kind of hate to see this. A people get the government they deserve. If you don't pay attention to what your elected representatives are doing, if all you pay attention to is football, dancing with, some of the stuff on TV, what is the name of that? The Kardashian fan. I mean, there are people that pay attention to that stuff, and they treat it like it means something. In the vast scheme of things, it means nothing. What does mean something is that we've got a guy from Delaware in the U.S. Senate right now who is a champion of the idea that the Constitution should be amended to restrict the free speech of certain American organizations, but not others. In other words,
that's not Kevin Wade, Duke.
No,
that's
it's not. Kevin Wade. Oh no, it's not. In other words, Senator Chris Coons likes the idea that a corporation cannot give money to a political campaign or a political action committee or a political party, but a union can. He likes that idea. I don't like that idea at all. Do you, Kevin?
Political free speech requires making the occasional sign that gets put alongside the road, or renting a billboard, or making a radio spot and running it on an AM or FM station or an internet radio station. In order to have the platform, the soapbox, and the megaphone to get your message out, whether you want to support amateur bowling in your hometown, or you want to do something different in public schools, or you'd like to have a St. Anthony's parade in the town and ask the local police to manage the traffic for you, even though you're a religious organization. The ability to have free speech to advance your beliefs requires that you have the tools, and those tools cost money. It's common sense. But there are some on the left who have decided that some organizations have that right, but other organizations, and they can tell in their minds the good from the bad, other organizations don't have that right. Well, either we have free and unhindered speech, or we don't. There's no two ways about it. Free speech is free speech. If you don't like what's being said, change the channel, turn off the radio, turn off the television, don't go to the meeting. You can even raise your voice in opposition. That's all part of free speech. But we are in a dangerous place if people in power in Washington think they can determine classes of people who are prohibited from using the First Amendment.
It has been pointed out, and obviously rightly so, that the First Amendment is there to protect unpopular speech. Not to protect popular speech, but to protect unpopular speech. If somebody in this country has the right to come out and say the Muslims are all peaceful, 9-1-1 was George Bush and Dick Cheney, etc. The First Amendment protects them against the government telling them that they cannot say that. There was a comedian from Russia in the 80s. His name was Yakov Smirnov. You may remember this guy. He came to America and he said something very, and he had a great series of lines. He was very, very funny guy, very entertaining guy. And he said on one occasion, "We have freedom of speech in Russia too. The difference is in America, you still have freedom after you speak." Okay. He also once said, "In America, you can always find a party. In Russia, the party always finds you." All right. So, sadly, I think that the so-called progressives in this country, being as blind to historical reality and as blind to facts as human beings could possibly be, are looking back fondly at the Soviet Union in the 60s and 70s, and they're saying, you know, that looks pretty good to us. It looks better than what we have here now. And I think what attracts them to that is that central thing that ultimately makes a liberal a liberal: the unshakable belief that is born of a psychological bias towards self-confirmation, that they and they alone know what is right for you and you and you and me and the folks in the chat room right now and the people listening on podcast. They know what is right. One size fits all, and God help you if you disagree with them. That's why they don't really like the First Amendment, and that is why they despise the Second Amendment. 718-305-7176 is the number. We have several folks in the chat room. I see Christian in there from Denmark. Christian's going to be joining us in a few minutes to talk about World Cup soccer. Kevin, did you pay any attention to that? I got to be honest with you, I didn't.
I can never figure out how the clock works in soccer. I'm sorry for our friend in Denmark there, but there's a clock, but it doesn't really run out. It's something I can't get my head around, because except for baseball, everything has a clock, and you have to show what you can do before the buzzer.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think golf has one either, but who cares
about
that?
That's just free speech. I know there's a number of listeners saying, "Kevin, you're crazy."
Yeah, yeah, and they're allowed to call in at 718-305-7176. Discuss these issues with Kevin and I. Express your own opinion. We still have freedom here on the airwaves in this country, whether internet or whether broadcast. The only, you know, the restriction in broadcast, and frankly, I think it makes a lot of sense, is that there are dirty words that you can't say on the air. I don't use those dirty words on the internet, even though the FCC has nothing whatsoever to do with radio programs like this on the internet. And since, Kevin, you appeared on my broadcast radio show last Thursday night, under federal rules, I have to extend an invitation for equal time, which I'm okay with, to your primary challenger and also to Senator Coons. And I would be delighted to have Senator Coons on the radio. I would be very, very happy to discuss some of his ideas with him.
And he should be very comfortable appearing, because all he has to do is talk about what he believes.
Well, I have noticed that the liberals, you know, very often they really don't want to do that. If you disagree with a liberal, generally speaking, as Ann Coulter has pointed out, the first response that you will get is, "You're stupid." You know, that's going to be their
response.
And
that elevates the debate.
Yeah, exactly. Now then, let us take a call. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
This is Christian calling from Denmark.
Hey, Christian. How are you doing, pal? Hey, listen,
I'm doing just fine.
I'm very glad you called in, but
we've got about 30.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds until I have to go to a break. Can you hang on a couple of minutes, and then I want you to explain to Kevin a couple of things about what you call football and what I call soccer. Is that okay with you, pal?
Yeah, That's super.
All right, very fine. Just stay right there. We will be back with you in just a moment. Anyway, we are going to take a brief break now. We've got Huey Sullivan with Talk Radio News Service at the top of the hour. We're going to take care of a little bit of business more with my good friend Kevin Wade running for the U.S. Senate in Delaware after this break. And Christian, don't go away.
Coming to you every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a media shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Keely Sullivan. Acting VA Secretary Sloan Gibson told the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Wednesday that the VA's waiting list backlog may take 2 years to eliminate and at a large cost. Gibson expects to hire another 1,500 physicians, 8,500 other support staff, and spend $17.6 billion on the crisis alone. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is proposing to change their consumer complaint database in a way that will publicize complaints against financial firms and products. The CFPB has already collected over 400,000 public complaints, though the current public database only provides general information about the type of complaint received. According to a Gallup poll, 17% of Americans believe that immigration is the most important problem in the U.S., with dissatisfaction with government almost tied at 16%. Americans also believe that the economy is a top priority, with 15% of those surveyed calling it the most important U.S. issue right now. Keely Sullivan, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax.
This one lady,
but there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices. Use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, Amber Alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Second air, but I... All righty. Welcome back. That is the Warsaw Concerto by Richard Adensel. Played that last week at the same time. You know, we had some technical problems last week, but I'm pretty sure that they are all cleared up now. Anyway, Kevin Wade is back with me. Kevin, our international correspondent, Christian, who is calling from Denmark, is here. And I think Christian is probably a pretty big fan of yours because Christian loves America and he doesn't care for a lot of these liberal ideas. Christian, welcome, pal. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, and thank you for letting me be on the show again. I have a quick comment about all that freedom of speech thing you were saying. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Christian, go ahead, buddy. We're just working with a... Can you hear me now? We're working with a headset issue here. All right, very
okay,
fine.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, I was just thinking, because you're saying that you have freedom of speech, and I must say that in theory you do have freedom of speech, but when people are being attacked, when they're saying they're speaking their mind and having to apologize, having their franchise, their NBA franchise taken away from them, having being fired for saying, for speaking pro, the family and against the gays, when you're being losing your jobs over it. I must say that in real life, you don't really have freedom of speech in America anymore. You can say a lot about
Chris,
the Russians.
This is Kevin Wade, and Chris, and you make a great point, and I think all of us here, maybe this applies around the world as well, we need to be adults, and we need to have maybe a broader sense of humor at times, and other times have thicker skin, because this should not be a society in this country where you can be shouted down by any group that has determined what are correct things to say and think. My mother had an expression when I was growing up. She'd say, we need to talk, and you're not going to like what I have to say. And that was her way of a message that wasn't popular to my ears, but it needed to be heard. And maybe that's one way to describe free speech. People are allowed to say foolish things. People are allowed to say things that are offensive. The measure of free speech is that it's permitted to take place. It can't be restricted, because as you restrict things that you think are offensive, you'll end up restricting things that everyone really needs to hear. But you make a great observation, Christian.
Yeah, and it's very funny, or interesting anyway, that in the early 90s, when all this new, at that point in time, gangster rap came out with a very, very racial lyrics, very provocative lyrics, then the lefties were very much in favor of that and supporting them, and they were having a saying that they used a lot of the time to say, either you're down with free speech or you're not down with free speech. And ever since they kind of won that war where you were allowed to play that gangster rap music, ever since they won that, then have been totally opposite. Being if you're saying things against the gays, like pro the nuclear family, if you're like pro pro-life or pro-Christianity or pro those kind of things, then you are attacking in such a vicious way.
It might be, Christian, that they were deceiving us and they were deceiving each other when they were defending what I can consider, quickly consider to be the offensive lyrics of hard rap music. They weren't being honest with people. They were only supporting language that they happened to enjoy or felt it would advance their agenda. But free speech is free speech. It's unadulterated. It's not watered down or diluted. You always have the choice to change the channel, turn off the radio, turn off the television, walk to a different room, or use your own free speech. And until we get back to that idea in this country, we're all subject to the tyranny of the mob, who says we've chosen that those ideas are not palatable or acceptable anymore. And that puts a straitjacket on the progress of society. You need to hear all opinions, and we're going to rely on one another, people with common sense, to sort it all out and filter what really has meaning to them in their lives and what doesn't. But it's offensive to me to see someone shouted down by any cabal, whether it's on the right or on the left.
Yeah, because let people say what they feel, and then we have a debate. And then if someone says something that you don't agree with, then you can say, well, I think it's wrong, and then list a point of view, make a list of good arguments, and then see who wins the public debate.
Exactly. I mean, how do you ever find a common ground or reach a consensus if both sides aren't free to explain their case and make their point? It's only by that discussion that we all can teach one another and be a better people.
Yeah. And us dangerous, we're in the forefront of this freedom of speech thing. We have been, with the Muhammad cartoons a few years back, cartoons that not even the brave Bill O'Reilly dared to post. or on the facts or anything, you know.
Those cartoons were free speech, offensive to some, very entertaining to others. But in Western civilization, if we want to maintain our civilization, we honor free speech even if we disagree with the subject matter. Yeah. And I thought it was a real step back to see how many reacted, many of the paragons of the media elites who suddenly began to self-censor their publications to avoid offending a noisy majority of people in the Mideast and a very small minority in the U.S. Part of the American experience is we all have to get along together, and that means tolerance. And tolerance is just that. It's not tolerance of my opinion. It's tolerance of every opinion and, in fact, every cartoon.
Yeah, and it's basically because those exact people, they don't hold back anything when it's, making fun of, like the Catholics or the Christians.
Well, I mean, again, I don't find any enjoyment in humiliating someone because of their faith, but I surely do not respond when someone tells me. No, Kristen, I know you don't. I can tell by your voice. But how in the world can we find ourselves being inhibited and censored simply because there's a noisy mob that today doesn't like something because tomorrow they won't like something else? And who are we as a people if we can't freely express our opinions, views, and beliefs?
Yeah, I agree.
Kristen, it's great to spend some time with you.
Yeah, I wish you...
Back to Duke.
Yeah.
Christian, all right, stay there. Kevin is going to head back to his home upstate, but if you can stay with us, I do want to talk to you about World Cup soccer. Can you hang in there for a minute?
Okay, best of luck, Wade.
Say again?
Best of luck to your friend.
Okay, thanks. All right, thank you. Yes, I will pass that along. Just stay right where you are. Kevin, thank you for being with me tonight, pal.
Duke, it's always a pleasure.
I look forward to seeing you tomorrow,
Keep
buddy.
Keep the light on for me.
Okay? I will indeed. Wait, who do you think I am? Tom Beaudet or something? You and my girlfriend Linda have some information to discuss. I'll probably be calling you by cell phone, before you get back home. But
have a great
I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, pal. All righty. Let's bring Kristen back. Kristen, now. Let me ask you a couple of basic things about soccer, okay? Number one, how large is the playing field?
The playing field is about, 70 meters and 110 meters.
Okay, so that would be something like 120 yards by 80 yards.
I think
yards
it's about the same
like
size. It's about more or less like the same size of an American football field, in the NFL.
Okay.
More or less.
Maybe a little bit larger. How large is the goal? How big is the goal?
The goal is about 2.5 meters tall and about 7.5 meters long.
Okay. And there's a net behind it, and how many people are on each team, including the goalie?
There are one goalie in each team, and then there are 10 field players. And only the goalie gets to use their hands.
Right, okay. Now, can the goalie leave the zone in front of the goal,
or does he have to remain
in that zone?
He's free to go where he pleases. And he can even score goals, but he can only use his hand in the penalty box, in his own
okay.
penalty box.
Okay, all right. Now, what are the positions on the team? What are the different positions on each team? Is there a fullback, a halfback? What are they?
Usually there are four guys that that are on the line in the defense, and, a left back and a right back and two in the middle. And then there are four guys in the middle, two outfielders, one on each side, and two in the center. And then there are two guys in the front. Those are called the strikers, the attackers.
And a regulation game is 90 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's two times 45 minutes. And the clock is going on constantly. It's not like in the NFL or in hockey or where the clock stops whenever there's a break. So it goes on all the time. So and then if there's a lot of breaks, then the referee can say we play about 1 or 2 or 3 minutes extra in the end of the game.
All right. Now, the World Cup matches that I'm hearing a loud voice in the background, buddy. I don't know what that is.
It's basically, I have a friend here, and he's kind of snoring, I think.
All right, well, you might want to wake him up and ask him not to snore so loudly because it's actually overpowering what you're saying. But in any event, the World Cup, that took place over about a week and a half period, right? It's about 10 days of play, correct?
It's about a month.
It's a month?
1 minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about a month.
All right. Now, almost every country in the world sends a team to the World Cup, correct?
Yes. Yes. I think that's about 24 countries that are qualified. Oh, no, I think it's 32.
32 countries, okay.
Yeah.
And now, how did Denmark do this year? Did Denmark play?
No, unfortunately, Denmark is a very small country. So, unfortunately, we didn't qualify. We usually qualify every other time because we are a small country, so we don't produce that many great players. But
okay. All right. England? Sure. But there's a lot of European play as well, the FA Cup, things of that nature,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah,
I'm sure.
So,
now,
yeah.
Is it not true that the English fans that come across the channel to France and Germany, Denmark, Holland, places like that, in support of their own soccer teams, for a long time had a very, very bad reputation. Is that right?
Yeah, and the thing is that I think sometimes if you people in America get mixed up, is when soccer is being played in America, it's very peaceful, and it's very like semi-feminine because it's a lot of girls that are playing and it's a very friendly sport in America. Over here, it's war. When the big teams are playing, they have a lot of working class supporters and they go really at it. And you need tons of police when you have the big games over here in Europe and England and in Germany and Italy, and especially in Italy and in Eastern Europe and in England. There's a lot of even here in Denmark, there's a lot of fights between the two supporter groups, and the atmosphere on the pitch is very aggressive too. So where it's very like a boy-girl sports in America, over here it's for men, real men, you know, with scars on their knees and in the face, and they really go at it. It's like two different sports. Even though the rules are the same.
In Central America, between El Salvador and Honduras, there was actually a war that was fought between those two countries as a result of a soccer game, I think in 1960 thing. And, everywhere in the world, except I think in Japan and China, the Oriental countries, and North America, everywhere in the world, soccer is the number one sport. I think the number one sport in Japan is baseball. The Japanese, absolutely, they love it. Oriental people seem to love baseball as much as Americans do. Have you watched any American sports?
Yes, on TV. You know, I follow the NFL and some of the hockey I'm very much a soccer guy, I must admit. So that is
yes.
That is my number one sport, as it is for many guys over here in Europe. It's
sure
big over
here. All right, Kristen, do you want to hang in there for a little while, or do you want to get some nap time, because it's it's very late for you. It's like 20 after 2 in the morning over there right now.
It's 20 after 3 actually, but yeah, I'm perfectly happy to stay on a bit.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a real quick break, catch up on the Civil War a little tiny bit, and then, we're just going to skip the Civil War. Let me take this break, Christian, and then you will be right back with me in a few minutes, and we will talk about all things political. So you stay right where you are, more with Christian and I on Radio Free America. Your calls, too, coming up. Don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Alrighty, because we've got Christian on the line with us, and it is very, very late or very, very early over in Denmark right now, we're going to skip the Civil War for tonight, next week for sure, you know. So, Christian, you've certainly been paying attention to recent American political developments, which you do assiduously, and I'm very, very glad. I'm glad that there's some people in Europe that still like America. And we obviously have a border problem over here. When I was in Europe, there were signs everywhere that said Zoll and Douan, which are, I guess, German and French for customs. And you just couldn't go from country to country. They would stop you. Of course, the European countries are smaller than America, but what do you think we ought to do over here with all the illegals coming in from Central America? And it looks like the Obama administration is trying to bring them in.
Things have changed a bit. over here in Europe the last 10 or 20 years, because we used to have a very strict border control, actually. But after all the EU integration crap, I dare say, then borders are almost, not existing anymore. And you just drive around. For instance, I have a friend who the other day they drove to Belgium to another country, and he wasn't stopped. And you know, you can drive around and you don't get stopped. So we don't really have that border inside Europe. We have, because the Baltics wants the EU to be like the United States of America, like one country, you know, even though the populace don't want that, but that's another story. The thing is that what I think you should do about your border issue, that was the question, right?
Say again?
Yeah, the thing I think you should do about the border is it's very important that you, with the children that down there, that you send them home fast, that you do it very fast, because the longer they're there, the more they are inclined to make routes. You know, a good-hearted people would go look them up and say, what can I do for them? And then before you know, they have bonded with some of these good-minded people, and then you never get rid of them. And then you basically, you know, have opened the doors for other parents in Mexico and in those neighbors' country to do the same, because they can see that it works. And by that way, you would only increase the numbers of possible voters for the Democrats, and then you never see a Republican victory again. That's basically the GOP problem that I see at the moment. I see a lot of GOP people like Marco Rubio, and even like Bill O'Reilly doesn't really understand it. They don't understand that the more that they are liberal on that border issue, the more Democrat voters are getting in, and the less likely a Republican victory in the future is. And because we all know that by far the Hispanic voters goes for the Democrats, and so does the blacks and many of the other minorities, they are going for that way, and the GOP can't be in that fight, because they can't win that fight with they can't be the most Hispanic friendly, the most border crossing friendly party. They can't do that, because no matter what the GOP comes up with, the Dems will top it. And that's just because they don't give a damn, for my friend. They don't really give a think about it, because they basically believe that the borders should be open. So there should be no, you know, like, those just come right in and vote Democrat. And then, they did the same with the immigrants back in the day, where they stood at the harbors when the people came in at the ferries. And they were signing them up for the Democratic Party even back then. So it's a very old Democratic strategic thing.
Yeah, that is exactly the reason that the Democrat Party and their legislators, acolytes, and minions from inside the Beltway and in faculty lounges and newsrooms all over the country want these people to come in, because they see future Democrat voters. Now, sadly, there are some Republicans that want them in because they see cheap labor. I don't want them to come in here because I don't want our national culture, our national language, and our national traditions and laws and customs to be overwhelmed by third world, unskilled, non-English speaking people from a society that has almost nothing in common with America. They are not going to assimilate. Now then,
yeah.
You're probably aware.
I have a quick question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
The question I think that you guys should ask yourself, what would you say to if it was that George W. Bush was the last white Christian male president that America would ever have. But he's the last one that was a Christian, that was white, and that was male, and Republican.
That would be very, very bad because
that's a reality.
Even though our Constitution does not recognize any particular religion, we have no state religion here, we have no official religions here, but for all practical purposes, this has been a Christian country. It was founded by people that were Christian, and that is the religion that more than 8 out of 10 Americans are Christians. Now then, you are aware that former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has called for President Obama to be impeached. I'm sure you've heard that, and I'm wondering whether or not there's any reaction from the Europeans about that. Was that in Danish news over there?
No, not at all.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Nothing bad about Obama ever gets reported over here. I wouldn't know half the stuff I know about Obama if I've just, you know, like been reading Danish newspapers and following the Danish TV news. And that's really why that Obama is so popular over here, because they don't know the half of it. They only know that, you know, like the Democratic talking points and the journalists that we send over to America to report back, they are not only Democrats, they're lefty Democrats. You know,
just like our journalists here.
No, much worse. Much worse. And you.
Okay.
All right. You should really thank the lucky stars that you got Fox, because you got a TV, a big outlet that promotes another point of view. We don't still have that over here. Our mainstream is it's the same.
How many Danes speak English?
About all of them. We are
almost all Danes speak English.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. You know, under, you know, 70.
When I was over there, almost all of the Swedes that I met and almost all of the Dutch from the Netherlands spoke English. In France, almost nobody did. Almost nobody did in France, and I could speak a little bit of French when I got there, but I could speak a whole lot when I came back home. You know, I really, really enjoyed being in France and in Paris. I would not go back there because from what I understand now, it is almost indistinguishable from being in a place like Saudi Arabia or Syria. And I think that
is a
horrible shame.
I don't really think that Americans are very are really aware of the transition that's going on in the European cities. Even my city over here, my neighbor city called Brøndby, a small city about 35,000 people in it, and it's been almost like only white Danes living there until about 30 years ago today. A quarter, every fourth of the citizens in that city is of non-Danish background, and most of them are from from Africa or the Middle East, and most of them are Muslims. They are parts of that city where the mayor of the city has a social democrat, by all means, has spoke up that he's afraid that they are trying to make that part of the city a counterattack. You know, with very, very serious Muslim guys taking over, basically, and I can see just by going to my local mall, I see very many immigrants there too. So if you think that France and Denmark and Germany and Sweden are like they were when you guys visited back in the 80s or even the 90s, it's completely different now, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse fast. It's really sad.
It's very bad, my buddy. very bad.
And if you don't watch out, then with all this border thing going down, it can be the exact same thing. And don't you think for one moment that what you regard as real Americans, that you can't be a minority in your own country, and it can happen very soon. It has happened. It goes very quickly over here in Denmark and Europe these years, and the same can happen to you guys over there. You have to be very, very seriously, and it has to be a deal breaker. This border issue for every GOP guy coming into this next president election, it got to be a deal breaker. If you're not soft on the border, you're no good, and you shouldn't vote for a person that is not soft on the border.
I agree with that.
It should be a deal breaker.
Well, yeah. I believe that she's right. Christian, I know it's very, very late over there, very early, depending upon how you look at it. So
Yeah. Thank
you very much for calling in, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Well, thank you for letting me be on, and God bless America.
Thank you very much, my friend. Have a great evening, pal. Always a pleasure to hear from Christian over in Denmark. I sincerely hope that one day he and I get to meet in person. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. More coming up. Don't go away.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy that the so-called fairness doctrine does not apply here. And if you are a right-thinking person, you're going to be happy about that too. We've got about 21 minutes left in this episode of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. I'm beginning to think we might be the only place where America always wins, but I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number. If you are listening on podcast, I got to be honest with you, that number is going to do you slightly less good than nothing at all. But if you're not, go ahead and call in. I'm looking at Drudge. I use Drudge an awful lot when I'm on the air here. I read all kinds of stuff during the week. I love the headlines on Drudge. Released illegal alien arrested for murder. I remember a funny bit on Saturday Night Live. There used to be ads on TV. There were spots on TV all the time that said, during the month of January, all aliens must report their name and address to the Customs and Border Patrol, you know, office, U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service. And they did one on Saturday Night Live in which it said, during January, all aliens must report their address to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. All right, very funny. I thought it was anyway. You know, maybe you don't, I don't know. Listen, I mean, people say, we're a nation of immigrants. Well, look, the facts are these. Unless you are from Kenya, your ancestors ultimately emigrated from there to somewhere else. True, 20,000 years ago, there were human beings living all over the Eastern Hemisphere, in all of Europe, in all of Africa, all of Asia. I don't know if they had gotten to North and South America yet. I kind of don't think so. The last thing that I read indicated that the people native to North and South America came from the northeastern part of Asia, and they came across what is being described now as the Bering Sea land bridge. You know, the Bering Sea is the body of water that separates the western part of Alaska from the extreme eastern part of Siberia. And it's an ocean now, but during the Ice Age, about 12,000 years ago, which is when the Great Lakes came into existence, by the way, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Lake Superior, 30,000 years ago, they didn't exist, but they do now, and that's basically all, that's all fresh water. It's not salt water, and it is all runoff from glacier melting when the Ice Age ended. So people walked across what's known as the Bering Land Bridge, and they began walking south, and they kept walking south, and they kept walking, and they got into North America and what is now North America, and then into Central America, and then into South America. And that's basically, you know, I suppose that is the short version of how the Earth was populated with human beings. If you know better, look, I'm no anthropologist. I'm not a biologist. I am kind of a student of history. But if you would, if you've got better information than that, if the dates are wrong or anything of that nature, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We do obviously have some, I mean, the last thing that I saw tonight was at the very end of Greta Van Susteren on Fox News Channel, which is my favorite. You know, I like it a great deal. I don't see very much on Drudge. As a matter of fact, I don't see anything on Drudge concerning the latest IRS revelations. Apparently, there is something, there is some new information coming out of the search for Lois Lerner's missing emails. Now, here is something. Let me actually get this to open on Drudge. You know, it's a funny thing about computers. The faster they are, the slower they are. The Drudge reports by Justin Stengel this morning about 51. So talking about California congressman, depending upon how you pronounce it, I met before you can actually rivet You know, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, the internet now has become just a filthy, wretched hive of stinking commercials and rotten audio and everything else. And apparently, you know, there is really almost nothing that you can do about it. I have tried to block ads from time to time. No matter what, there really is nothing that you can do about it. You can maybe block some of them. But if a company, and that one I think is State Farm, no, I'm sorry, that one is Farmers. That is the one that has J.K. Simmons playing the role of Professor Nathaniel something or other. In their TV commercials. He's the guy that played Dr. Emil Skoda on various episodes of Law & Order towards the end of Law & Order. Very, very good actor. I think the guy is great. He was also, he played a CIA executive in the Joel and Ethan Coen film called Burn After Reading. And he did a great, the guy is just very believable. He does a great job. But the fact of the matter is Farmers Insurance is not paying conservativenationmedia.com to be on our air, so I'm just not going to deal with that. But I digress. Anyway, we're about 13 and a half minutes until the end of this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I'm going to take a quick break here. More coming up. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Hit me! Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. Those, of course, the Mighty Moody Blues from the album On the Threshold of a Dream, and that is called The Dream. By now, the Beatles, the Electric Light Orchestra, Genesis, the Moody Blues, those are my four bands. Not a one of them is a bunch of noise. There's some bands out there that were a bunch of noise, and none of those bands are. 718-305-7200, 7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Now then, this is a press release that I'm going to read. Went out yesterday. It is from the Kevin Wade campaign. I was honored to have Kevin here with me during that break, actually before the break. Kevin Wade today expressed solidarity with the state of Israel in its defense of its cities, towns, and civilians in the face of continued rocket attacks launched by Hamas terrorists in southern Lebanon and Gaza. Quote, Israel, like every other nation, has an absolute right to exist and to defend itself, Wade said. Quoting again, since Hamas terrorists are launching rockets into Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu is completely justified in using military force to destroy those launchers, the crews that fire the missiles against Israel, and the Hamas terror apparatus that started the attacks, unquote, he said. Wade emphasized that the Israeli military strikes are defensive in nature, despite characterizations to the contrary, now pervading the UN and the world community. Quote, nearly half of Israel's population has lived under the threat of sudden death from Palestinian terror rockets since 2001, when these unpredictable and ongoing attacks began. 4,000 rockets have been fired at Israeli civilians since Israel made an effort to trade land for peace and withdrew from the Gaza Strip 9 years ago, Wade said. Quoting again, I agree with Bibi Netanyahu's assessment that this type of terrorism cannot be tolerated. An attack against the only democracy and America's ally in the Middle East should be viewed as an attack against the very concept of democracy everywhere. I categorically reject the notion that Israel is a Zionist entity or an illegal occupier, as Palestinian and Hamas propaganda seek to describe the state of Israel, unquote. He continued, quote, all rational people seek peace and security. Hamas seeks the destruction of Israel. It will be an act of unforgivable immorality for Israel to not take decisive action to eliminate their self-declared enemy's ability, means, and will to wage war. And, sadly, the Israeli Defense Force campaign against terrorism speaks to Hamas in the only language they understand, unquote, he concluded. Republican Kevin Wade is the founder and president of Philadelphia Control Systems of Christiana, Delaware, a consulting engineering firm specializing in data automation and production line optimization. He is married to professor of nursing, Dr. Gail Wade. They have one married daughter, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a very good press release. One of the reasons I think it's good is that I wrote it. Of course, Kevin approves everything, but anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number. There is a woman, an attorney, an assistant U.S. attorney at the Federal Election Commission that yesterday it was revealed that she was sending out tweets in support of President Obama's reelection campaign in 2012, highly critical of Republicans. I saw a couple of them. Some of them look like they were simply highly critical of white people. She is a black girl. I have forgotten her name. It's been all over the news. She resigned. However, the hard drive on which her tweets were located now is missing. Heads up, I'm not a lawyer, but there is a law called the Hatch Act, which makes it illegal for federal employees to engage in political advocacy, campaigning, politicking, or electioneering while they are at work on the taxpayer's dime or inside United States government offices or buildings. I am absolutely in favor of that. The fact of the matter is, I think that federal government employees have more than enough ability to influence things, and they have more than enough influence over the system and our national dialogue already. But I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number. You know, almost nobody ever talks about the idea that I refer to as civil service reform. Almost anyone that has ever gone into either a U.S. government building, a U.S. government office, a state government office, county, town, the chances are that the government employee that greets you there, not always, for certain, not always, but the chances are that that person is not going to be particularly polite to you. That person is not really going to be all that interested in helping you. That person is likely to be keeping an eye on the clock. That person is likely to be a lot more focused on their next coffee break than they are in providing service to the taxpaying voting citizens that come in seeking either help or some other form of assistance or anything. That is simply the way things are, unfortunately. And as we know, it is virtually impossible for a government employee to be fired. You have to be unbelievably incompetent. You will recall about a week and a half ago, the U.S. House voted upon and passed legislation that would actually enable some people occupying certain management levels in the Veterans Administration to be fired. The Senate, of course, which is controlled by Democrats, did not concur with that legislation, so it went nowhere. The House and the Senate must concur exactly on laws that are offered. And if those, that is why they have what is known as a conference committee in each one of the chambers, so that they can look at a law that the House is thinking about passing or has already passed, and the Senate the same thing, and they will compare these two. And in order for it to go to the president to sign it, which even if the Senate had passed this, I can guarantee you President Obama would not have signed it, enabling the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs to actually fire certain people that work there. The Senate would not, they wouldn't even take it up. They wouldn't even vote on it. The largest contributors to the Democrat Party, to Democrat political action committees and kindred organizations in this country, generally speaking, the largest contributors to Democrat candidates are the federal, state, and municipal and county employees unions. They know what side of the bread is buttered, and they know who is on their side. The Democrat Party is the party of big government. It is the party of untouchable bureaucrats. It is the party of do as we say, not as we do. It is the party of big taxes, big government, and it is the party that is wrecking this country. And I think that they're going to get their comeuppance in November. When the GOP takes over, maybe they will act like concerned Americans and not like politicians. I know for a fact that Kevin Wade will act that way. That will do it for this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday.